Sports Hub Headlines.
Talking about the players out last night, Patrice Bergeron, Jake DeBrusk, Rick Nash, David Backes, Zdeno Chara, Charlie McAvoy, Torey Krug. Still, the Bruins manage a point against the Blues in St. Louis, a 2-1 overtime loss, and that seals up a postseason berth. Matt Grizzlick,
it's exciting.
Yeah, it's obviously it's exciting, and we're looking forward to it, but you know, we still got 10 more games left to play, and we want to go into the playoffs playing the right way.
Next three of those games are on the road, starting tomorrow night in Dallas. Celtics have a road trip of their own that begins tomorrow night. They play in Portland. That'll be a late one, just after 10 o'clock Boston time. Patriots and Marquise Flowers agreed to a one-year deal. That is according to Adam Schefter. The Sweet 16 in men's college basketball gets underway this evening. Here is your schedule of games. Loyola, the 11 seed, still in the tournament. They take on Nevada at 7:07, followed by Michigan playing as 3 seed, going up against Texas A&M at 9:37 p.m. Kansas State takes on Kentucky, and then the 9 seed Florida State goes up against Gonzaga, the 4 seed. That's a late one, 10:07 p.m. tip. Headlines brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new 4 for $4 has more choices than ever. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Like what you hear?
It's simple. It's natural.
Like 98.5 The Sports Hub on Facebook. Continue the conversation on your favorite sports stories.
We're all compelled to do it.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Time hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. If you're having a hard time keeping up with Bill Belichick's schedule, I understand. He's somewhere new every day. Today at Ohio State Pro Day. That's where Bill Belichick is today, is the Bill Belichick College Pro Day Tour continues in the month of March.
Where are these little Twitter people that are usually on these planes taking pictures? Like, sometimes we got them last year, right? Bill Belichick squeezed in the middle seat on a JetBlue flight heading to Florida. Like, he flies a coach. He does. I know that for a fact.
Hashtag regular guy.
He's a regular guy. Does he blend that much? Like, he's pretty noticeable, right? Been to 8 Super Bowls. You start to get recognized a little bit. Plus with his demeanor, man. I don't know, we should think we'd have more travel pictures popping up. Hey, look who I saw. Jeans and sneakers and whatever college pullover he has on. So he's at Ohio State with Urban Meyer.
So our point to start this day was that Bill Belichick seems to be re-engaged with all these college pro days. Now, he's been to Ohio State's pro day a lot. He's been there a lot. Yeah. I feel like when Urban Meyer went there, he's been there nearly every year.
Sure.
But you look at the other day and you look at the video with Bradley Chubb and you look at him working the bags and putting a guy through a drill, a guy that he even told, "Nah, we won't see you. We got the 31st pick." But he's into it. He seems to be getting around. He seems to be making the rounds. And you know who else is not anywhere near any of this? Josh McDaniels.
Or Brian Flores, who's probably going to be making a defensive call, even though he's not the defensive coordinator.
It doesn't appear to me.
Scouts and selected, you know, like a Brian,
I wouldn't put Flores in this category, though, because he's not
right.
McDaniels is purported to be, which is head coach or the guy who's going to be shown Bill Belichick's world.
That's right.
Now, Flores isn't even worthy in Bill Belichick's eyes of being given the coordinator title, which is a different story. But back to this part, Bill Belichick's out there, people. He's out there looking at college prospects, looking at a lot of them. He himself getting detailed and personally involved like he has done in the past, but obviously there seems to be a renewed emphasis on this for him. And it just doesn't strike us as a guy who's close to being done or wants to be done or isn't into it or is thinking about retiring.
Yeah. I just think, too, it's, you know, we need to get back to what we do. And we missed on some guys last year. We gave away some high picks. Cooks had a good year on paper, but I still don't term it a really good to a great year when you're giving up a first-round pick for an impact free trade of a veteran player that you expect to come in and do big things, especially from what we saw in the preseason and his ability to take that top off the defense. Had trouble catching the ball on the inside, sort of awareness and of spacing in the passing game is confusing at times. You know, obviously no Coney Ealy. You try to get some impact guys at the top, giving away big picks. Now you got a bunch of picks there, and it's sort of like we're going to reinvest into the collegiate game. You know, we're going to build, whether it's drafting running backs, whether it's drafting tight ends. We're going to get back into this, dip into this thing, help our front a little bit. Secure guys like McCourty. Get guys I want to coach. Re-up with Matthew Slater. Re-up with Pat Chung. Guys you don't have to worry about. And Chung's had a great, you know, sort of resurgence here, you know, in his second going with the Patriots. Yeah, he's in a better role.
Can I tell you that I'm scared to death of Bill Belichick being at Ohio State Pro Day once again? With it being what? An Urban Meyer coach.
Getting fooled
team.
By Urban?
Yes, getting fooled by Urban. Yeah. That's exactly right, Zill. Do you know the guys who he's drafted? Remember the guys he drafted
Spikes?
Out of Florida? Okay, I'll give you the list.
Let's go.
Brandon Spikes. Okay, every single one of these guys did not live up to expectations. Spikes, PEDs / couldn't cover. Great in the run game, though. Spikes was
okay, man. I think you're selling a little short on that. It's almost like people say that he missed on Lawrence Maroney. Lawrence Maroney was starting tailback in, right. You know, the undefeated season.
Let me ask you this. Did Brandon Spikes become the player that you thought he would be, or was
no.
He was hyped up to be?
Let me down a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, that's all.
Yep.
I'm just
leaving
telling
your car in the middle of the road. It's just too many things
that
happened.
That happened much later.
The video
on.
With that kickstand, all that.
He was a second-round pick. Okay, so we'll put Spikes on the list. How about Chad Jackson? How did that work out?
Not good at all.
I mean, you can make an argument. That's one of the worst picks he's ever made. Jeremy Mincy.
Mm.
Jermaine Cunningham.
Nope.
Dominique Easley.
Oh. He actually signed with somebody. Who did he sign with? 1 year
back
deal.
With the Rams.
Yeah.
Back with the Rams
wow.
On 1 year deal.
Sue might end up there.
John Jalapio. Was it Jalapio or Jalapio?
Jalapio.
Jalapio?
What kind of fish is that?
John Jalapio.
Of the Jalapio.
And
over,
then there is Aaron Hernandez, who, as a player,
was good player,
lived up to it. But the off-the-field stuff, I think maybe they were sold a bill of goods by Urban on that part. Because yeah. What did Urban Meyer know about his lifestyle and what he was doing?
Probably a lot, because it seemed like Brandon Spikes knew a lot.
He probably knew a lot. I think that Urban Meyer, you know, everyone, oh, what did Bill know? What did Urban Meyer know? What did he know? But, again, different story. We could spend a day on that. That list is not great, given the outcomes on all those players. And all of those guys were sold to Bill Belichick by Urban Meyer. So, as much as I'm excited that Bill Belichick seems to be really going after it right now, oh, God, get out of there. Get out of Columbus. Please.
Yeah.
Quickly. Don't let Urban sell you
don't
somebody.
Don't believe the hype. Yeah.
There is also this part that you mentioned earlier that he only wants to coach guys that he likes at this point in his career, doesn't want to be coaching the a-holes.
Yeah.
Is there something to, he goes back to his Rutgers guys, Jason McCourty, or the guys that are from the schools like Alabama, Nick Saban, Ohio State, Urban Meyer.
Seems right as his head, yeah.
Adrian Claiborne, Kirk Ferentz, player.
Yep.
Excellent point, Jim.
Lead on me.
Is there some of that going on right now?
Who's the other
yes,
guy?
That's
went,
a good thing.
Who
went with that's
him?
A very
you
good
think it's
thing.
A good thing?
Yes. If he wants
why?
To get guys he wants to coach and can trust and put in positions to do stuff, yes.
It keeps him engaged.
But what if the guys aren't any good? What if it's Jermaine Cunningham and John Jalapio? Jalapio, whatever his name
guys
was.
Guys that have been in the pros before that are veterans, I think he knows what they have.
Okay, veterans are different. I'm talking about guys he goes after and drafts.
I'm talking about McCourty and Claiborne.
Okay.
I'm happy with those guys.
I don't mind either one of those pickups, especially Claiborne. I think that's a great move. Claiborne's a great move. Jason McCourty had a good year. We'll see how he fits here.
I think that's going to be a good move.
I don't think there's a big downside. There's no downside to bringing in Jason McCourty.
Low risk.
I can tell you that.
Low risk.
I don't think there's much risk at all there. It's a solid move just based on the fact that it has nothing but upside.
Haven't they pretty much hit on all the Rutgers guys, though?
Yeah.
Rutgers guys have been good to them. Logan Ryan.
They've been solid.
And those are Shiano guys, who's also the defensive coordinator with Meyer. So it's a little bit of, you know, a plus, a little bit of minus there.
Yeah.
Ryan, McCourty. Who else are we missing?
Daron Harmon. I mean, they've had a couple of role guys come in and out, but those are the big guys.
Yep. So there is something to that. And you also told us earlier, Zoe, that Bill's lady friend.
Yeah, not direct shots at me or addressing me on Twitter or social media. And she does that sometimes. But responding to people. Because, you know, you kind of go through her responses to people. Oh, see, coach is right there up front and center. And this and that. Would you expect anything less? This guy takes no days. Where are you guys going on vacation? There's no vacation.
I think there's some sensitivity to the idea.
If you're going
to
take that into account.
He might be close to done.
I mean, it's fair to take her responses or her point of view into account if we're going to do it with Giselle and Tom. If we're going to sit here and break down what Giselle's saying in Tom versus Time and say, boy, you're getting a really inside look right there into what's going on in Tom's head. Because that's somebody that's close to him. We have to be fair and do it with Linda.
Yes and no.
Excuse me?
Who do you think the boss of the relationship is in both cases?
Yeah.
I think it's Bill and Giselle.
Bill and Giselle, yeah.
So you can take it to the, you know, to a certain extent, but...
617-779-0985. Has Bill been reinvigorated? Is he sensitive to the idea and the conversation publicly that he could be close to done or there's issues in his locker room? Maybe that's what's going on right now. So we've got that. And also NFL rule changes that might be coming down. They're going to vote on a couple of things, including pass interference. That could be changed. Unlikely, but it could be. And one other big one, and that is the catch rule. It appears it's going to change, and it might get messy out there. We'll discuss it next.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 Sports Hub.
This is Zoe Request? Is that what this is? No?
Don't you get it? Catch me, I'm falling, and I didn't complete the catch to the ground.
Oh.
I'd like where you're going here with this, Lauf. It's 2 days in a row, a little throwback. I'd like to see this band live. All you need is a keyboard.
Yeah. Do you know who the band is?
The Casio keyboard.
This is
Yamaha?
No. In excess? No.
No.
Damn it. It's not Roxanne, right? What is it, Jim?
Sorry, no.
He doesn't know.
Pretty Poison?
Oh, my God.
I would have never come up with that.
Me neither.
Never.
Before we get back to the rule changes and the catch rule, games? Because the catch rule is a freaking... It's about to be a mess.
It's still confusing again.
I told you, it's about to be a mess.
You made a confusing play that started to be more concrete, more confusing.
But before we do that, I want to say thanks for lunch to Babbo.
Babbo.
Babbo. BabboPizzeria.com, Van Pier Boulevard, Boston.
Real pizza. Real sides. Real Italian meals.
I'll tell you, these meatballs.
The sausage fettuccine what's the name of it?
Yeah, fettuccine? That thing.
Nice little Italian desserts. Yeah.
All about
chow that down.
All about the, yeah, right?
Yep.
A little Italian guy would?
Yeah. You see us on the road, we got to find this one, Alla Familia in Pittsburgh. It's like an old school Italian joint. Mm-hmm. Like you walk in, white tablecloths. You're waiting for, like, the Godfather to get shot in the back. You're like, doot, doot, doot.
What?
Yep. So he gets all fired up. He's like, this is like a mama mix. This is like the mama mix. Him and Capel at the same time. Capel leads back. Yeah, that's good gravy right there. Nope. Then the whole gravy versus sauce argument starts. You call it gravy or you call it sauce?
I call it sauce.
Yes. Yeah.
But the real Italians call it gravy.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, you listen to
Capel. Not necessarily.
Capel said that's cut dry.
Maybe in his particular family.
Yep. Big pot of gravy your grandmother never cooked on the stove? Huh?
How about those meatballs?
Yeah, she did. She called it sauce. From scratch.
Good meatballs there.
Yeah. Oh,
Babbo.
Veal.
BabboPizzeria.com is where you go.
B-A-B-B-O.
B-A-B-B-O. Babbo. Check them out. Our thanks to them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Woo! All right. Okay. This catch
Need
rule.
A nap.
Here comes the catch rule. Ready?
Uh-oh.
Control of the ball.
Okay, got that. That's good.
Check. Two feet down or another body part.
Let's go back real quick. Control could be with one hand.
Yeah, that's not well defined either.
Right.
Control of the ball.
So you get the one-handed catch that's and
now,
he brings it in.
That's now a judgment call.
Right? That's up in here.
Control of the ball, 2 feet down or another body part, a football move such as a third step, reaching or extending to the line, meaning you're going for a first down, you're going for the goal line. Okay, we get that. Okay. A reach is considered a move. A step is considered a move. And then you get to this mess right here in the NFL's proposed catch rule. Or the ability to perform such an act. Okay. So if you are deemed by a referee as being able to reach or able to take a step, even if you don't do either one of those things, it will now count as if you did.
So you're going to be Al Riveron. I want you to play Al Riveron here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the highly talented wide receiver, 6'5" wide out, that runs a little post corner. And as I'm going to catch the ball right at the sideline, and I'm going to try and explain this as we're on radio, I extend to where the hand, both hands are out, over the boundary on the sideline.
Yep.
I tap both of my feet. So obviously, the ball hits my hands. I have control, like the Julio Jones catch against the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Great example of it.
Yeah, but in your hands.
Hands in mine. And I turn as I'm trying to attempt to make that move to secure the ball, and I land on my back. But you see that I drag both feet and have control of that football for a good one count.
It's a catch.
And my back hits, but boom, the ball pops out. I didn't secure it.
That's a fumble.
Is that a catch? Or
that's now going to be a catch and a fumble. If it pops out in bounds?
Out of bounds. I'm saying out of bounds.
If it pops
dragging.
Out of bounds, it's going to be a catch.
Okay. Good.
Or if you catch it in that situation, you tumble to the ground and the ball comes flying out.
Bang, bang,
it's
fumble.
A catch.
Then that's a catch fumble. Inbounds. Okay.
Or out of bounds, where if you tumbled out of bounds, as I said,
right.
Still a catch. There's going to be more fumbles as a result of this. This is going to be one of the side pieces of the new catch rule. And nothing is going to be clearly defined, so I can't wait to see the replays.
Oh, it's going
to
be fun.
You think the replays are bad now? Just wait. Careful what you wish for.
Work it out in the preseason, baby. Get it worked out.
Can we just go back to 2 feet in possession, and that's it? Call it a day?
I thought that's what this is. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
you have to make
not.
A move,
it's
too.
A new part.
Or be able to make
no,
a move.
No, you understand. The new part is the being deemed capable of doing the move, but not actually doing it.
I just want to go back to 2 feet in possession. And if you get drilled by a safety, it's on you to hold on to the ball. That's what I want. At this point, that's the simplest thing you can possibly do.
And if you
do.
Get drilled by a safety, then it's a fumble.
Yes. If you don't hold on to the ball, you don't hold on to the ball. Catch the ball, get 2 feet down. Just like it was for 40, 50 years.
It's still
years.
Gray area. You're going to decide whether he's making a move before
How
that safety
hits
him.
How long do you have to hold it for?
No, he doesn't have to make
catch.
A move. He has to have the ball and have 2 feet down. That's how long.
What about
he gets 2 feet down.
What about if we throw in, he had the ability to get 2 feet down, but chose not to.
Nope, no catch.
Well, according to the NFL, they're going to count that as a catch now. Jimmy's in Natick on Bill Belichick. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey,
first
Jimmy.
Time, long time.
Thanks. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to bring up the fact that you guys are criticizing Belichick so much for his, you know, critiquing him on his drafting, and I just want to say it's only half the situation here. Because
no, it's just the Florida picks he went through. That's
just
all.
The Urban Meyer guys.
Yeah.
I got that. But what I'm saying is you also got to, like Parcells' old analogy, if you want me to cook the meal, I got to buy the ingredients. You got to also look at what he's done with some of these draft picks, too.
He's had some great draft picks, like Brady Meyer's, and Edelman. I mean, Sebastian Vollmer.
Which one of the Urban Meyer guys is the good one?
Oh, obviously Hernandez.
Right. No, you're right.
Well,
you're totally right.
That's good.
Hernandez is the best one that he drafted out of Florida.
I've been dying to tell that joke.
I got what you did there.
Wow.
It's a good time, man. It's a good delivery. He didn't jump all over.
Boom.
All right. Take it.
It wasn't a Bill Belichick draft criticism. It was a specific
criticism
about him
on
drafting
bad info.
Florida
yeah.
guys.
Bad info to that, draft them that
it
high.
Was specific to that list of, what, 6 or 7 guys?
Remember when,
none of those situations ended well.
It got so bad
none
with Dominic Ealy.
Hernandez included.
Remember for Super Bowl 49, Dominic Ealy even chose not to be with the team at the Super Bowl? That's how bad that one was at the end.
Was that his decision?
Yeah.
With the team?
Because he was like, all right, you can either be with the team or not. He said, I don't want to go. He wasn't there. People were talking about that.
He had, what, another ACL tear?
Yeah.
With the Rams? Is that what he had last year?
Something like that.
He missed most of the year. Was that what it was? Cam and Taunton on Bill Belichick. Hi, Cam.
I think Belichick's trying to show his team that, hey, guys, I'm fully committed. Will you fully
Good
commit?
Good
point.
I agree.
I think that he's got some repairing to do in that locker room. I mean, let's face it. You had Brady and Hightower come out and voicefully support Butler by supporting his Instagram post.
Yep.
And then McCourty's been talking a lot this offseason. McCourty's like the definition of a guy who Belichick wants.
Two captains.
I think I think he went out and got Jason, you know, to get Devin back on board. And it looked like Slater was about to leave. He lost Solder. So all these guys who are quote-unquote Patriots, I think looking at Bill, like, Bill, what the hell was that in terms of Butler?
Yeah, I mean, hey, and this happens in all sports, too. There's a stagnancy, right? You get stagnant after a amount of years. It happened with Terry Francona. It happened with Theo Epstein. Tom Brady's been here for 18 years. You know, Belichick's been coaching his team and sort of doing it his way. And he may be stubborn, yeah. But at some point, you know, there are issues that we have here. There's a tension that maybe I'm also uncomfortable with work. People talk about Brady and Gronk being uncomfortable. They're not a happy environment. Look at the other side. I mean, he's trying to instill that with the team. It's got to be tough for him to apply that to 53 different personalities and upbringings to make it all work and be cohesive. So, and then you got the guy in the middle, stuck in the middle. It's Mr. Kraft saying, hey, man, we got to work this thing out. And Tom, you got to be better. Bill, you got to be better. So, and maybe Belichick realizes, I got to change a little bit. I don't have to be vocal, but if I tell players to lead by actions, maybe I need to lead by my actions too a little bit. Maybe I need to be more front and center. And I think there's all kind of ways to read into this thing. And I think it's in a positive. I don't think anything is negative out of this. You know, this doesn't go against Brady. This doesn't go against Kraft. Maybe the locker room's in better shape than people think. I'm still going to win 12 games again next year. They're going to come up. They still got a good team. They address some needs, fix some holes. They're going to have a good draft. See what happens. Got to get the next quarterback, too. I'll tell you what. And, Beto, I told you this on the way in today. I went back and I watched that Sam Darnold thing again yesterday. Jordan Palmer was fantastic, sitting down, breaking and analyzing what Sam Darnold did in the rain and this and that. It's going to be intriguing to see how these quarterbacks play out as the draft comes down, because we as Patriots fans are interested in who you're getting as the next guy. You got to think they may be looking at a guy in the second round. And just the jockeying of teams here. And, you know, once we get closer to the draft, this thing will ramp up more. So, who knows? Who knows who falls? Because the Patriots could trade up and get one of those guys in the early 20s. You know, say a guy like Chubb or somebody, something happens. Who's the guy, Lentz? Or who's the guy that fell for Miami? The kid that had the smoke mask on?
Oh, Laramie Tunsil?
Tunsil, yeah, Tunsil. Laramie wow. Tunsil.
Like, can a guy like that fall to where all of a sudden they get Tunsil?
Who are the weed guys this year?
Yeah, give me some weed guys.
You know, it turns out Hernandez wasn't just a weed guy. Well, had he been just a weed guy, it would have been a good pick.
Yeah. I guess I got to ramp up my draft prep, get the weed guys in the category.
Yeah, find out who the weed guys are, because I'm all on board with those guys.
Speaking of Miami, guess who's visiting Miami, guys, for a little visit? Brock Osweiler.
Oh, your man.
Yeah.
Jim's guy.
What are they doing down there? It's just culture change. Yeah, bring that guy in.
But, Jim, do a Venn diagram of the weed guys and the PCP guys, and we'll avoid not only the PCP, but the crossovers, too.
Yeah,
crossovers
because bad.
Was that Tunsil?
Yep.
That was the actual video?
That's the actual video, right?
That's phenomenal audio on that.
Isn't it?
I almost got high hearing that. That's a big one. Big rip.
Weed guys. Get on the weed guys. Here are the headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Good basketball notes here. Well, the Celtics don't begin their road trip until tomorrow night in Portland. Today, Celtics assistant coach Walter McCarty has been named the new head coach of the University of Evansville men's basketball team. But catch this one. San Antonio Spurs, according to ESPN, had a players-only meeting to try and convince Kawhi Leonard to come back and play. Leonard said that he's had good reason for sitting out all but 9 games this season. He's got that right quad injury. Conversation described by ESPN as tense and emotional. Meanwhile, the Bruins lost last night 2-1 to the Blues in St. Louis, but still clinched a spot in the postseason. Kevin Miller?
That's a good thing for sure. Like you said, that's not the result we wanted. That was a good fought game, but I think we deserve better, and should have, you know, had a better third. Would have been nice.
Road trip continues tomorrow night in Dallas. Headlines are brought to you by Live Nation. Godsmack with Shinedown Saturday, August 25th, Xfinity Center. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
12:37. We're on Zolak and Bertrand. Miles in Natick has some thoughts on the catch rule. Hey, Miles.
Hey, guys. I just don't understand personally how they wanted to go and change something that was very subjective, and they only made it even more subjective. I mean, there's just a bunch of guys who get paid a lot more money than any of us that sit in a room, and they're so anxious to make everybody happy and everybody pleased anybody and not have any disagreements about the catch rule, that they just put in more qualifications for it being even more subjective. I mean, just personally, I don't get it. I wanted to know how you think they came to this decision.
I don't know. I don't know what went into this. I don't know who came together and thought this is the idea.
Owners meet next week. You know, owners meet next week, PI rule. You know, I thought you had some traction on that one to where it's a 15-yarder, not a spot foul. The catch rules, we've been bitching about this for 4 years now. Ever since Megatron, you know, sorry to bring that up, Hardy. You know, he gets ruled for a no catch in the end zone. That's like the most obvious freaking touchdown catch you could ever do. Yeah. Ever. More so than the Des Bryant thing. It's that one is where things went haywire. After that's what sent this thing into a freaking tailspin.
To me, that's the one I always go back to.
It's an argument.
It's not because with him, it was inadvertent. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
It's like he put it down and let go of the ball.
Yeah.
Okay, shame on him.
It's not like
I guess,
lost control.
Maybe. But that was a catch. Everybody knew it was a catch. No. Now we're going to get you on a technicality?
Yeah. That's that bang-bang touchdown once you're in the end zone. Ridiculous.
Right.
Bring it back. I think they're bringing it back with that. That's the thing that I'm excited for. The bang-bang catch is back.
I still don't want anything that we don't think is a catch to be ruled a catch. That's the one thing that the old rule did have, was the fact that never did we say, oh, I can't believe they called that a catch. It was always the other way around. Can't believe they took that one away. That was a catch. That was always the argument. It was never
right.
Nah, they shouldn't have given that to him. It really wasn't.
I'm sorry to bring this up, but to the way we were trained last year, and we got to the point where it's black and white, and you have to have control. You have to have both feet in. The catch a running back had against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, that nice seam route down that left side. That's not a touchdown. That's not a touchdown based on the way they wrote that, and that's sort of I think why they're trying to readdress this. Because we were trained, the kid had no control. He had it right in his right, started to shift the ball on the left, had 1 foot in, 1 foot out. But if it's going to be with the new rule, that bang, bang, he had secured the ball, had 2 feet in. Like, on last year's rule, that's a no catch. On the new rule that's going to be instilled this year, that becomes a catch.
I think
even
it
though
should
it's ruled
be
a touchdown. But under their rule last year, they still ruled a damn touchdown.
Well, they
I remember how long it took, and I'm like, this isn't going to go well for them. And it did, though.
Not to say they never screwed it up, but...
I don't know what is and what is anymore. We got to get used to calling it then. Good luck with it. Good luck.
Well, good luck to you.
I'm not going to jump on it. I got to be careful on these now. I just got to let it go to review. Well, let's wait and see.
For our Patriots, touchdown.
It's a Patriots, I don't know. It's either a touchdown or not.
Will it be a catch? We don't know.
For a pending Patriots touchdown.
As we take a break, as we go to review here on the Patriots 98.5, the Sports Hub, Rock Radio Network.
Hasn't been the Rock
Hasn't
Radio
been that
Network.
In forever.
Nine yeah. years.
Whatever it is.
Going on a
I
decade.
Don't usually do that, Reed. So that's Bob.
It's okay.
Let's take a 10-second break. We pause for station identification on the 98.5, the Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network.
There it is. There you go.
Got it, nailed it.
Ready.
There you go. Woo. Mid-season form.
Wow. Ready for football. Dean in the car. Dean.
Hey, guys. You were talking about safeties drilling receivers before. So the one, and that being a fumble, the one thing that I think you missed is that if a receiver catches it, they get 2 feet down, but they're unable to make a move or they don't make a move, and then they get drilled and the ball pops out. That would still be an incomplete, correct?
No, that should be a catch.
No, I think the way it's worded, you're right, Dean. I think that's an incomplete pass. Because how could you possibly rule that they were capable of making a step if there's a safety in their face hitting
them? Right, Ted. You're right. I stand corrected. Yep.
Yeah, but then the other thing, so let's say it seems like the Pats have been, trying to wrestle the ball out as much as possible while they're defending catches. So receiver catches the ball in the end zone, has control, 2 feet down. Is that instantaneously a touchdown?
Yes.
Or the Patriot
yes.
Wrestles
I assume.
After?
I mean, I'm making an assumption here, but I'm assuming
yes.
that as soon as that possession happens, it's going to be considered a score.
That's why I was always trained for 20 years prior to this, the way that was. It was like a running back breaking that front edge of the plane, the bang, bang, and receivers were always bang, bang, quick catches, boom, and a touchdown. As long as you have it, you don't get hit, and it's not dislodged. Should be a touchdown.
Like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's impossible for a receiver to fumble in the end zone. Like, impossible. If there's possession, it's a touchdown. But I don't think this is going to get any easier. It's going to be messy. You're going to have reviews still, and you're going to be saying, I don't know what the rule is, because they are making the rule more gray. And they're going to err on the side of it's a catch, whereas in the past they've erred on the side of it's not a catch.
They were on their way toward a good rule modification. They said, just feels like it needs to be grayer. We got to get a little more gray in here. Let's add one more line. Or the ability to do so. That's it. Now it's done. Send it out.
Yeah, this feels right. Mm-hmm. Yep, good.
Leave ourselves some wiggle room here, fellas.
That's basically what they wanted to do.
You sound like that guy was doing the play-by-play in the natural last night.
It feels like they wanted to just be able to say, ah, if it looks and feels like a catch, call it a catch. Now figure out how to write the rule to cover ourselves. That I think they did it in that
crazy.
Order.
Crazy.
As much as you joke about the wiggle room, Hardy, they basically decided, now if it feels like a catch, it should be a catch. We're going to call it a catch from now on. So try and write something up that covers all the bases.
Yeah, that's what it reads like.
That covers our asses in this. And that's what it reads like. If we think you were capable of making a move, we'll basically count it as a move. You think this rule change is bad?
Oh, no.
You ready for another one?
Oh, no.
Not in the NFL.
Oh.
But in Major League Baseball.
Ooh!
There's an umpire who believes that a tag needs to be redefined. The definition of a tag in baseball.
Are you talking about the quick double play ball at second base where you don't have to tag? You just stand over the bag and throw it to first?
No, I think just tagging
tag
anybody.
Like,
I have the ball in my glove,
yeah.
And I tag a runner.
Yes.
That they need to redefine what is considered a tag.
You need to tag him in the face.
I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about, but I'll explain it to you coming up next.
Ooh.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Party people! Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah. These three words mean you're getting busy. Whoop, that is Hitman.
Okay, this story, Ted Barrett, Major League Baseball umpire. He's been in the big leagues since 94. He's been a crew chief since 2013. And Jesse Rogers of ESPN got a rare Q&A with an umpire. Good little story here on ESPN.com. Let me jump to the part that kind of plays off what we've been talking about, the changing of the catch rule, possibly in the NFL. He starts off by asking him, has he ever called blocking at the plate live as it happens? This block rule, the Buster Posey rule, as I like to call it. The crybaby rule in baseball. He said, I've never called it. If I see it, I'd call it, but it's a tough one. There's so much going on during a play at the plate. It's constant moving, changing situation, focusing on a tag and a slide is hard enough. It's tough to see blocking live. It's blatant. I'll call it. Otherwise, replay has to do the overturning on that.
That's a good answer.
It's not bad. It's not a bad answer.
All right.
The next question is, how frustrating is it that on a pop-up slide thing where a guy comes off the bag by the smallest of margins? Think of a guy taking second base, throw down to second, pops up, tag is there. You know, how hard is that call? He says, there are some things that happen that you don't have the ability to see it with the human eye. Let me stop right there after that. Is it impossible to see if there's a tag or not at second base?
No.
On a bang-bang play?
No. I mean, especially if you've been calling games like that as an umpire for your career, it's pretty become second nature to you. Like,
I mean,
you're used to seeing slide catch tag,
or
no tag.
He adds it's difficult. Okay, maybe it is difficult,
it's
not impossible to detect it with the human eye.
No, it's easier to make, you know, the bang bang calls at first when you're listening for the ball and watching for the foot on the bag. But I I'm still with him.
He says, I think pickoffs at first have increased because of it. As in, somehow pickoffs at first base in baseball, a sport that's been around for more than 100 years, now has players that are trying to exploit umpires being unable to tell if a guy has been tagged on or off the bag at first base.
How so?
I don't know. I think pickoffs at first have increased because it's a difficult call to make.
But they're trying to how are they trying to exploit it?
They're trying to exploit umpires who do have a real difficult time.
By doing what?
Trying it more. Forcing them to make more calls.
Okay.
That's what he's claiming.
All right.
And he says, you know, and this is why we play off the NFL story, because he brings up the NFL. Again, this is Major League umpire Ted Barrett talking to ESPN in a Q&A. He says, you know, the NFL has talked about changing the definition of a catch. We may have to change the definition of a tag.
This is where I feel he's losing me. But go ahead,
listening. Umpires are used to using sound. When someone pops up off the bag for a split second, that's a whole other thing. Those are hard. So
yeah, not every call you make on as an umpire is going to be. It's going to be a bang-bang play at first where you're listening for the sound.
But how do we change the definition of the tag?
You
either have the ball and you tag the player off the bag, or you tag the player on the bag.
Is he saying they get one swipe and that's it? If the guy pops up off the bag, he's safe after that? Though after the one, I don't know. What is he saying?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't understand.
How has this changed over the years? He's been doing it since 1994.
The way you can run through the bag at first, you can run through all the bags, like Little League. Don't
they do that? Over 35 softball?
Don't they do that in some junior farm leagues where you can overrun the bags?
If you could say that again, please. Just back up.
The NFL has talked about changing the definition of a catch. We may need to change the definition of a tag.
Okay.
Because umpires are used to using sound. When someone pops off the bag for a split second, that's a whole other thing. Those are hard, as in those should somehow be eliminated. You only get the right to take one type of tag at them.
I'm sitting here right now. I can see all three of you, right?
Yeah.
So an umpire that's standing about the same distance can see the runner and the fielder and the glove and the foot. You can kind of see it simultaneously, right?
You would hope.
I'm so confused.
So a guy's sliding into second. He comes off the bag.
Is that what he's talking about?
Those are the hard ones to see.
Do you want me to give you the next answer in this Q&A that will make you hate baseball umpires?
Yes.
The question, Jesse Rogers, the elephant in the room is balls and strikes. You must be aware of the scrutiny now with the combination of technology and social media.
Yeah.
He says, we're aware of it. We're aware there are websites that rank us and stuff like that. We also know there are different technologies. So far, so good. He said, it's really hard to go out there and try and do your job when you know you're not going to be perfect. Okay. Acceptable. To this point. You ready for this next line? That's why I'd like to think we're a special breed of men.
Wow. What, warriors?
Like Thetans? Like Scientologists? They've reached a different level of being able to
heal
their minds.
They're different than us. They're different than us.
It's like the Freemasons.
Yeah. They're so
level 4.
We can't even.
What is those commercials?
We shouldn't even talk about this because they are so far above us. Like, we can't even think the way they think or act.
A special breed of respectable men. He believes that they are a special breed of man to be able to be a major league umpire.
Wait, just calling balls and strikes or overall?
Oh, no, just going out there and being able to do it. Just calling the balls and strikes.
Because to call balls and strikes, I agree. That is, I would not want to do that. Would you want to do that?
No.
Did you ever try doing that? Well, yeah, Beal, you said you were an umpire when you were little, right?
Yeah.
I tried doing that. It's hard.
It was fun.
I mean, it's hard for a 12-year-old that's throwing 50 miles an hour.
Like Freemasons, Major League Baseball umpires create a profound bond among one another that transcends ordinary kinship.
Did you see that Pedro gif that was running around the internet last week?
No, I did not.
Quickly pull it up, and it shows you the catcher cam on what his 97-mile-an-hour fastball looks like in live speed. Tell me you try calling a ball and strike on that play. Just type in Twitter, Pedro gif. It'll come up in 2 seconds. Okay. It's insane.
You know that guys that are veteran umpires make over $300K a year, right? Just throwing that out there.
Well,
good work if you can get it.
It's special breed.
Special breed.
That's not why everybody can do it.
We can lock out the external stuff, run a ball game, and do the best we can.
Did you say Google Pedro gift? Because all I'm getting is Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
We stick together.
What are you talking about, Jim?
All right, we stick together.
I'll find it from the show account.
What does he want to do about calling balls and strikes? Nothing?
Doesn't say that he wants to bring in the robots yet.
All right, good.
Said they do a lot of going back and looking, post-analysis, video. They do review themselves. And then he was asked if he has a weakness on a certain pitch and says, if you're not tracking the ball with your eyes, pitches that have a lot of movement, and I'm calling too soon, I'm probably not tracking all the way with my eyes. What else would he be tracking with, just out of curiosity?
Well, you can't expect him to concentrate for the entire time it takes the ball to get from the mound into the catcher's mitt. Beetle. That's asking too much. They're a special breed of men, but they're not superhuman. You want him to concentrate for a full 0.4 seconds while that ball goes from the mound to the mitt? No. He can concentrate for the first 40 feet, maybe. After that, all bets are off. Do you have a weakness? I fall for a catcher framing a pitch every time.
He does tell a good story, though.
Wow,
because
Jim.
He was asked, what about taunting from fans? And he talks about how he tries to block it out, and he has a brother who's an actor, and, you know, the fourth wall, and you just ignore them like they're not there. And he said, but here's a good story from when I was working the minors. I was working with Bill Miller, who is also now a major league ump. He says, and we had a play at third at the end of the game, and we're leaving the field. Some fan sticks out his glasses in our face, and he's yelling, you need these, you need these. So we take them and whip them down into the dugout, and we're kind of laughing, saying, way to go, way to go. And all of a sudden, we see the guy, and he has a walker, and he's trying to find his glasses, and we felt about 1 inch tall.
That's a good one.
They took the guy's glasses.
By the way, Jim, the gift that you just tweeted out of Pedro's fastball from the 99 All-Star game, yeah, it's fast, but you know what? It's a strike, too.
Yeah,
I'd call that.
Yeah, right down the middle.
How come?
How many times did you see it on loop before you knew it was a strike?
How come Pudge Rodriguez didn't have a problem catching it with his hand?
Yeah, he gets the outside corner of the plate. It's fine. That's a strike.
He's a truly remarkable gentleman too. Like whatever the guy said he described them as.
It's not over the middle. Beetle, where's that ball? Where's that ball catch the plate? First of all, strike or not strike?
First of all, can you see the ball? And how long can you see the ball for?
He catches it on the outside half of the plate.
On the outside half of the plate. Thank you. Zo, you can't be an umpire.
I don't want to be an umpire.
Because you're not a special breed, not like me.
Did
and
the
Beale,
batter swing right? or check swing?
I so far believe
he swung and he nearly made contact.
You know what, Jim? You can't be an ump either.
I just said that.
Jim, it's a you have bad breed. Eyes. We've already
I just said
Jim, you're not even like you're not even bred like these guys.
Beetle and I are a different breed. We could go be umpires.
Great hand eye. Great
I don't
hand
have the
eye.
Proper attitude to be an ump either.
You don't.
You're
you
don't. Sarcastic.
I think you have the disposition. I think you could do it. Yeah.
He's got the disposition, but he, I don't know.
We had this guy playing with every time he checked swing when he was growing up, he would point, step back. Yes, you did. You most certainly did. He would yell to the guy at the plate if he thought it was like a check swing that was a swing.
Mm. Did Zo leave?
Yeah, I don't know why, because I'm taking Bobby in the car. Bobby.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Now, some of the things that this umpire said seems to be a little asinine.
Special breed of men.
In an attempt to defend him, I mean, you know how, like, you guys say that goalies in hockey are a special breed because you have to be, like, certifiably insane to endure what they endure?
Or a guy wants to cover a kickoff and break up wedges? Yeah, a little nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Now, like, I'm not saying that I'm, like, this big hot shot or anything like that, but I referee hockey
up to a relatively high level.
How high?
Tell us the level.
Division I college.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's high.
And
you ever ref Harvard, Donato? You ever see him play?
Negative, not ECAC.
Okay. Hockey East?
He's going to bring it home to baseball.
I'm not going to.
Hockey East? Hockey East? You do Hockey East?
Go ahead. Continue your point.
You take a lot of scrutiny, so I think that in general, officiating any sport, it's a certain person, a certain kind of person that you need to be able to handle that kind of level of criticism in and out every day. You're always pissing everybody off. You got 20,000 people in a stadium or in a rink or in an arena that are all screaming at you. You're under a lot of pressure. Not everybody can do that kind of stuff.
Well,
but you didn't call yourself a special breed of man.
No, we've determined four
people. Their delivery was their elite.
I agree, but just from our little cross-section of society here, we've identified two people can do it and two people who can't. 50-50. It's not that special. Beadle and I can do it. Zoe and Jim can't. T-Bone, we'll give you the test later.
He's not very vocal. He can't do it.
It's strike. Foul ball. Check. Oop. Yep. Right to.
Headlines here with Hardy. 90 seconds. So you can walk out of the studio now. All right? Very good.